It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. We have another outstanding show. You know, each Sunday when I come down to the studio, I'm just so like excited to have a guest on, a special guest. And, you know, each week I look around, I say, who's making a difference in the world? Who's making it better? Because on the Todd Leonard Show, on the Journey of Giving Back, we focus on those making a difference, making the world better. Too often we unfortunately have to hear these very sad, tragic stories. And I want to bring you something uplifting, something motivational, something to make your day and hopefully inspire you too. So as you listen to the show, you can always send me an email at todd@toddleonardshow.com. You know, send me an email. Let me know your thoughts about how things are going. Like us on Facebook. Today we have Debbie Duhame, an accomplished broadcaster for over 28 years, doing the traffic in the metro area for over 26 years on the radio, on TV. And despite an incredible broadcasting career, she's decided to give back through Good Counsel Homes, helping those with cystic fibrosis, and so many wonderful causes. So when I heard Debbie Duhame is coming on the show, I was excited. The only thing is, because of her expertise and professionalism, put a little pressure on me.
No pressure.
You know a lot more than I do.
Debbie,
good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Todd. Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure. You know, we were talking before we started today that I met your sister. She came on the show, Dini and Heidi.
Yes.
I call them the dynamic duo.
They are.
I mean, really incredible.
Amazing women, both of them. They give back.
Mm-hmm. And I had the great honor of Jack Crilly coming on.
Yes.
Mary Therese Rose Fund. What a wonderful guy. So shout out to those folks and all the wonderful things. And on the journey of giving back, this is one of the really, I think, great things about it for my personal life is to meet wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, thank you for joining us and taking time out of your Sunday morning. So Debbie, you're a really well-known local broadcaster. You know, I know that your career in getting ready has really been around a long time, and I hope I don't in any way, shape, or form impair or impugn your...
Not at all. No, you're adding to it by letting us talk about my charity work that we do. It's great. So thank you.
Well, God bless you for coming on, like I said. So Debbie, for the listeners and people watching, tell us a little bit about yourself for the folks that aren't familiar with your background. Where are you from?
I grew up right here in New Jersey. I was born in England, but I came here when I was a baby. My mother's from England. My father is from Bergen County, and he was in the Air Force, met my mom there. So I'm the oldest of five. I was born in England in an Air Force hospital, a U.S. Air Force hospital in London. But we came here when I was 6 months old. So I'm a Jersey girl. I'm 100% Jersey girl. And I live in Passaic County over in the off 287, the Bloomingdale area.
Wonderful. It's a beautiful area over there in New Jersey. So getting ready for the show, I mean, you have, you know, your parents are awesome. I mean, your dad served our country. God bless him. And your mother was a mayor in Bloomingdale for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like to have that as a role model, those type of parents with that type of, you know, work ethic and really striving for success?
Oh, it's amazing. My mother is a mayor of Bloomingdale from 1993 to 1998. My father was a Passaic County freeholder for 12 years as well. So they both have always given back to the community. And besides that, a lot of charity stuff that they both have always done, always saying, you know, they don't even have to say it's about serving others. It's just what they did. They were an example to all five of us, my siblings as well. And because of their example, you know, we all like to give back. Like you saw my sister, how she works with the Ray of Hope Foundation. She's, you know, runs that and everything that she does. And my other sister, my brother Michael, does so much as well. You know, unfortunately, we lost my brother Rich, but he worked with the Mary Therese Rose Fund. And it's just amazing, you know, but when you have parents like that, you know, children learn what they live and that's what they see. And then you just automatically kind of, you know, you kind of like do that. You want to give back, you know?
That's incredible. And that's the reason why I love doing the show is it puts the spotlight on those making a difference, making the world better. You know, one of the things in life is obviously we're all on a journey. I love saying the journey because we really are on a journey and everything that you do in your life impacts it. With your upbringing, you're the oldest of five. So I have two brothers. I'm the oldest and that certainly is a certain dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I think, more pressure. What was your perspective being the oldest?
I guess it was more, I was very shy and, you know, kind of have to break in, be the first one to go to the schools, you know, going to the high school. I remember being so nervous because I didn't have an older sibling to like kind of be there for that security. So you had to be the first one. And I just remember being extremely shy, all through school But then again, I had my siblings and I had that security blanket and I got home and, you know, you kind of had all that love behind you. So you had that security because you always knew you had all of that love. But, being the oldest as I've grown older is kind of like, it's almost like a responsibility. You're kind of looking out for the family, right? And also kind of trying to be an example too. So
interesting. So you mentioned you were shy. A lot of people grow up are shy and, you know, it's pretty incredible. Then you went from being a shy young girl. Now you're very accomplished on the air often. How'd you overcome being so shy and then going into the broadcast industry?
I think in high school, I was in all the plays. I still loved being, performing. You know, I was in The Wizard of Oz. I was in several different shows at, I went to DePaul Catholic High School in Wayne and I had great productions when I loved it. I think I just absolutely loved being on stage. It was just like, it was just so wonderful. And so that was part of what was bringing me out of my shell a little bit. And then, you know, I got into sales when I was in my early 20s after I had my son. And I took a course called the Dale Carnegie course. And it really helps you, you know, it really helped me a lot in gaining confidence.
Interesting.
So I think that really helped.
In high school, what role in The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, I was just in the chorus. I was a munchkin singing. Oh, he's on down the road. I wasn't one of the stars. I was always like, in the chorus and in the background, but I loved it. I don't think I was confident enough to be try out for a lead at that point, but I just had so much fun with it. Like just being part of the production. It was great.
Yeah. Dale Carnegie, I mean,
that helped me a lot with confidence, you know, being a shy person. And then you have to go up and make speeches in front of the class and, you know, just on different life experiences. And I think that kind of brought me out of my shell too. That helped a lot. And I guess it's just a natural thing. When you get older, you get more confident and you're just like, okay, this is me and this is who I am. And you don't worry so much. You know, I think when you're a teenager, you're just more shy naturally because you don't have as much confidence yet, you know, and you, at least I didn't. Some teenagers do. I didn't.
You know, Debbie, though, for the listeners, we all go through this sometimes. We kind of worry about what other people are going to think or how we're going to act or, you know, if we're good enough or should we try? And like you touched on, as you get older, you should have enough maturity to say, look, it doesn't really matter what other people say. I'm going to do what I think is best for myself, right?
Yeah. And I think you just naturally come out of that shyness as you get older and get more confidence with, you know, who you are, you know?
You definitely came out of it. So let's talk about, you know, broadcasting, because everybody has a different, you know, career, different way to pay the bills, whatever fulfills them, you know, inside, whatever they think it makes the most sense for them and their families. How'd you get involved in broadcasting?
Well, I was first in sales with our family company. You know, when I was 20, I started selling in the beauty industry because we have a beauty supply. And I was always selling. I had my son young, so I was, you know, working and supporting him and, you know, trying to be the best mom I could be. And then I realized friends of mine were saying, well, what do you really want to do besides sales? And I said, well, I'd love to be on the radio sometime. And they said, why don't you go back to school for it? So I went back to school. And I took classes at William Patterson at the time, and I was working full time and raising my son, so it wasn't easy, but I did it. And then through there, I got on the college station, and I had a little show, you know, playing some fun music that I liked, and then that even helped with my confidence. And then I got a job at a local radio station. And then, you know, one thing led to another when I interned. And then I met Joe Nolan from the Traffic Center, and how I ended up in the traffic world was after that. But first I did some local radio and some local cable television. And then I went into the traffic world. Yeah.
I could see you love music. Our engineer, you know, MK was bopping along there in the studio.
Yes.
And I saw Rockin' Robin.
I'm dancing. Rockin' Robin.
Yeah.
I love it.
You sound a lot better than I would. I don't want to scare the people watching or listening. But, you know, in terms of the career, so you started out very humbly in, right, some local stations.
Yeah, you have to in broadcasting. People don't realize that, like, you know, you don't just all of a sudden go in and you're on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. You have to, as they say, pay your dues, and you have to even when I speak at a lot of career days, I'm going to be speaking at Passaic High School coming up for their career day. And I always say, you know, you have to be patient, and it's stepping stones and it's little steps. And, you know, don't get frustrated when you're on this step, because you'll get to the next step and you'll get to the step after that. But it takes time. Nobody all of a sudden just, and, you know, in 1 year makes it to their destination. Well, some people may, but most people, you have to take that little journey. And that's all part of learning and growing. And, you know, so I found that I learned so much when I was working at a local station in Pompton Lakes. And then I had a cable show over in Nutley, New Jersey, at a local cable station. And I learned so much while I was going back to school and then working part time at those stations. So you're learning as you're going through your journey to get to your destination, you know. So, and but I think that, you know, I think that that's all part of who you, you know, your ultimate destination, you know.
Did you ever get discouraged because you weren't moving up the ladder fast enough at all in your early career?
Not really, because I loved every second of it. I loved every second of where I was. I loved being on local radio. I loved doing my little cable show. I'd interview doctors, and then I'd interview politicians, and then I worked with Cablevision in Oakland. I had a political show there and interviewed, it was called Meet the Leaders, and I interviewed all the local, like, legislators, assemblymen, mayors, and I loved every second of it. And I was doing it all part time while working full time in sales. So it was all part of the journey. And then I was working in traffic, and I still kept the cable show too. So I think the hard part was when I started doing traffic, you don't get on the air right away. And I was anxious to get on the air. So I had, but then I realized I have to produce first. I have to fly in our little plane because they needed me to on the afternoons. You have to pay your dues, like I said. And I had to learn the whole traffic world. I had to learn how to produce first in order to be on the air and learn the roads, you know, the way I was supposed to learn them. You can't just go on and read it. You really have to know it. So, you know, I loved every second of the journey. I'm still loving it, you know, as I'm still on the air every morning, and I absolutely love every second of it. So
I can hear it in your voice. You love it. So in terms of the folks, let's go back to way back when you were interviewing different political leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Any stand out in your mind that just, you know, years later, you're like, wow, that was really cool, or that was like bizarre?
I think it was just overall, it wasn't anybody specific. It was just getting to know all of the local leaders, and, you know, and how they are working so hard to really do what's right for their constituents. And we would do shows out of the State House in Trenton a lot. Like once a year, we'd go down to Trenton, then we'd be in Atlantic City at the Convention Center once a year for the League of Municipalities. And we'd do the show live from there. So it was just great, just, you know, interviewing, you know, all of the local leaders and everything that, you know, and just getting the word out about the bills they were working on and, you know, and all of their accomplishments. So, yeah, I mean, Senator Bramnick, I interviewed him. You know, just the list is there's just so many, you know, but, like I said, the overall theme of all of them was that the good they're trying to do for the state of New Jersey, which I really admire.
Yeah, no question. But I think the public has to realize the public officials, folks are really putting the time in to really make our society better. Mm-hmm. I was researching, and I understand when you first went up in a small little plane in the beginning of your broadcasting career. What was that? What happened the first time you went up in the air?
Oh, yeah. Also, so like I said, when I was first with the Total Traffic Company, yeah, I had to produce on weekends, so I was producing. And then they said, we need somebody to go into, it was called Air North at the time, out of Caldwell Airport. And they said, you know, we did have to look at the traffic patterns and report back to the producers. And they get all the information into the system for the reporters that are on the air. And now they don't have to do that anymore because there's so much advancement in technology. But this is many years ago. And so I remember I was like, okay, let me get into the plane. And I met the pilot, and he said, oh, you know, when we go up in the air, maybe a little bit bumpy, you know, because it's a small plane. It's only a 2-seater, a Cessna 172. And I said, oh, I'll be fine. I've been in so many planes. I travel all the time. I've been in so many planes. And So then we took off and it was December because it was very cold out. And I remember putting, I had a heavy jacket on and then we took off. And I just remember like looking down. It was the afternoon. It was, I think 4:30 or 5, but it was getting dark. And I remember looking at this, the roads, and I was starting to get a little bit dizzy. I was like, wait a minute. He's like, oh, that's 46. That's 3. Like I was getting my bearings for the first time. I didn't have to really be on the air, just report back to the producer. So at that point, just what we saw, and we're looking for accidents and things like that. And all of a sudden I got very, very dizzy. And he said, if you don't feel well, just let me know. And I said, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And all of a sudden I didn't feel well. And I said to him, I said, Jim, I don't feel well. And he got that little bag out and I got sick and I was so embarrassed. And then, he said, do you think we should land? I said, yeah, I think so. So then we landed early. And then I said to him, he helped me out of the plane. He was such a gentleman and everything and helped me. And then I said, you know what? I'm not going to fly anymore because I don't think it's a good idea. Obviously my stomach can't take it, the small plane. And he said, Debbie, I'll see you here tomorrow at 4:00. And I said, no, I can't. He goes, take like even half a dram. I mean, you'll be fine. You'll just have to get used to it. I said, oh, no, I can't do it. I'm going to tell them. He goes, Debbie, I'll see you here tomorrow, 4:00. And I said, oh, I don't know if I can really. He said, Debbie, I'll see. So I showed up the next day and I took like the little half a Dramamine to get myself used to it. And before I knew it, I was flying every day for about a year. I did that. And I always thank him now, even though I haven't seen him now. He's a pilot for United. But back then he was flying the small planes to get his hours. And because of his encouraging words, I showed up the next day. So whenever I talk to kids at career days and things like that, I say, listen to the people who are positive in your life, who are encouraging you along your dream and along your path, because they're the ones that are going to get you to that next level. So because of his encouraging words, I did show up and I kept going and I got through it and I was okay. And my body did get used to flying. But I always say that, listen to those people that are positive, that are encouraging you to keep taking those steps. And, but I, like I said, I ended up getting used to it, but it's still a fun story to tell.
Yeah. You actually have a great memory of that. I didn't mean to bring up something like that, but it just kind of was striking.
Oh, that was very embarrassing. I remember that moment very well.
but the lessons you just told us in life, you have a pilot who was actually changing your life because of the encouragement and the motivation to put you back in the saddle.
Yeah.
Space.
And he was a young guy, you know, just getting his hours, but he was like very wise, you know, and, you know, just encouraging without probably even realizing it.
Right.
You know,
you mentioned also you're involved with the youth, the kids, right? And you go to the different schools and you give them a very positive message, which is wonderful too. And that's something I want to explore with you about everything you're doing to give back. Which I think is incredible. I know you're also a DePaul Catholic Hall of Fame high school person.
I got a Distinguished Alumni Award from DePaul. I was so honored. They picked one person from each decade, like, cause DePaul's been there since the 60s. So they picked somebody in the 60s, 70s. I graduated the early 80s and 90s, you know, and then to the 2000s. So they picked 5 people for each time that they, have this, ceremony each year. So in 2019, I got it for the 1980s and I was so honored that they gave me that. But it's just about being an example, I guess, of DePaul Catholic.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
You should be really proud.
I love that school, and I was really proud to be at that school.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I know you were willing to come on the show is to talk about everything you do to give back. And once again, that's the journey of giving back. And looking back on your life and what shaped it, I want to talk, you know, about what made you decide to start to give back. Cause you've been so involved with Catholic Charities, Good Counsel Home, Cystic Fibrosis, mm-hmm. so many different organizations. So let's take a little time and let's talk a little bit about, that spirit of what made you decide. At what age did you start to realize, I just can't worry about myself?
You know what? I think going to Catholic school my whole life, that's what we always did. I mean, we would go visit the elderly in the nursing homes at high school. We always just did things like that. And it was just part of, you know, it's just part of like what you learn growing up in a family, you know, the examples there. So I never really thought about it. It just kind of just happens naturally. And I think so many people, you, everybody gives back in their own way. They may be just looking out for their next door neighbor. Like maybe they can't go out to events and, but looking out for like an elderly neighbor, when it snows, going to shovel their walkway. There are so many little things that so many people do to give back in their own way. So, I think pretty much most people do that without even realizing it. But I got involved with Good Counsel Homes. I had my son quite young and then, you know, I was lucky to have this great family and a great network to kind of like help me. Like, okay, I can go back to school. My parents were helping me, watching him, and brothers and sisters and a lot of loved ones around. And I was going back to school working. I just had such a great network. And my son always had that stability and love because of my family and me all around him. And I said, you know what? I heard about Good Counsel Homes. They're homes for women with a crisis pregnancy, but they have nowhere to turn and they're homeless. And I said, wow, that really touched my heart, because I said, these women don't have a place to turn to. They don't have that family. They may be from another country here without their family here, or they may be in a domestic violence situation. And Good Counsel Homes provides, it's a shelter, but it's really a loving home. They have four homes for women in a crisis pregnancy where the women can stay during the pregnancy, and then they can live there for up to a year after their baby's born, even longer if necessary. They have programs for them to go back to school, and also like learning about finances so they can, you know, prepare for when they do move out. They have nutritional programs, just so many programs to help them and give them guidance. And so I heard about that Good Counsel Homes through a friend of mine that worked at a radio station in the Poughkeepsie area, and he invited me to a breakfast, and I said, oh, I've got to go check this out. And then I just heard about all of the work that they're doing. It was started by Chris Bell and Father Benedict Groeschel. Chris Bell was working at Covenant House in New York with homeless people many, many years ago, like 35 years ago, and he and Father Benedict Groeschel founded the first Good Counsel Home. And then from there, they have several homes, and they also help with other homes, you know, for women in a crisis pregnancy throughout the country, really, when they need help and advice, you know, or setting up. And, you know, Chris Bell does so much. So that touched my heart. So that's why I love to help with their events. And I do speak at different Catholic churches, usually, when they need me to raise awareness and to help with fundraising. So it's really fun. I love it.
And I also understand, getting ready for the show, you were an intern at the Rush Limbaugh show.
Yeah, Rush. Yep. Yep. I interned there.
How
yeah.
How's that working with the late Rush Limbaugh in the context of being an intern?
Well, when I was going back to school at William Patterson, there was an internship thing available, and I said, well, I like radio. And I said, and I like talk radio. So I called the radio station in New York, WABC, and they said, oh yeah, there is an opening for the Rush Limbaugh show to be an intern. So somehow I got an interview with Rush somehow. And I went in and I interviewed with him, and I said I could only intern one day a week because I had a full-time sales job and I was working and going back to school and, you know, all that other stuff. And he said, that's fine. You want to just come in on Mondays? You can. And so I did that for a couple of semesters. And that helped too, because then I met Joan Olin from the Traffic Center, and that kind of led me into the traffic world, you know, and Joan Olin then ended up helping me, you know, get my foot in the door with the traffic, being a traffic reporter, and again, getting into that, you know, in New York, because I figured, how else am I going to get into the New York market unless I am in New York? So when I was interning, I was in New York City, and that kind of helped, you know, get me into the traffic world.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. One opportunity leads to others, and that's also one of the mysteries of life, how one door can open up others.
And you have to have determination and grit. You have to keep doing it. They're not going to come and knock on your door. And I always tell kids that when I speak. I go, you may want to do this, but it's up to you. I go, nobody's going to come to your door and say, hey, Todd, you know, do you want to be a lawyer tomorrow? No, you've got to work for it. You've got to earn it. But when the opportunities are there, you kind of have to you know, say, okay, this is it. This is meant to be. So you go through that door, you know?
Right. So one of the things I love the movie The Karate Kid with the work-life balance because, you know, we all have careers. And also I love the show because it gives me an outlet to really put the spotlight on people making the difference in the world like yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know in getting ready, you're on the Joe Piscopo show. You're on DiPietro and Rothenberg. I mean, you're on a lot of different shows. So what's it like for the listeners? Like Joe Piscopo is a famous individual. You know, he's got a legendary career with Saturday Night Live and other wonderful things. What's it like working with Joe and then, you know, pivoting and working with DiPietro and Rothenberg?
Well, I'm actually on several stations every morning. And that's the whole thing with the traffic world. We're in our traffic studios and we connect to our stations from the traffic studio. So it's great because I get invited to the events that Joe has. And then I'm with them for a lot of events. And the same thing, DiPietro and Rothenberg. And, you know, I get to have some interaction on the show with them. And then I'm on other stations too, where you send reports and you're part of the stations. But it's through the years, I've been on so many amazing stations. So, it's just really fun. It's just fun because I say, I'm getting paid and I'm having fun at the same time. This is good, you know, but it's great. And, you know, a lot of times there are different events that they'll invite me to. And then it's fun because you're part of that little family, that radio family, you know, and it's great. So it's really fabulous. Yeah.
So one of the things, like I said, with the Karate Kid, I used it as an analogy, is the work-life balance. You know, you have to have time, right, to have time for yourself, but also to give back. How do you do that, Debbie? How do you juggle your responsibilities on a lot of stations, but also doing these wonderful things?
Oh, well, I do mostly volunteer stuff, like on the weekends. During the week, my hours are very crazy because I start, you know, super early in the morning. And I'm only on the air till 10, but then we have a family business and then I'm in sales all day. And, you know, I have pretty much at least 12-hour days each day, more than that each day during the week. So the volunteer stuff, a lot of times they ask me to MC something. I'll be MCing something for Good Counsel Homes on May 5th. I have a Catholic Charities event I'm going to be hosting. I'll be the MC, and that's going to be at Nanina's in the Park on April 18th. And those are during the week. So that's when I'll have to, like, maybe get home, have the nap so that I'm prepared and I feel really good to be the MC, because normally I go to bed very early at night. So, but a lot of the charity stuff where if I have to speak somewhere, a lot of that's on the weekend, you know, if I'm at masses or something like that speaking, or even the New Jersey State Organization of Cystic Fibrosis. I've been on their board for many, many years. My best friend died from cystic fibrosis many years ago, and I saw how that organization helped her with, you know, medical, different things that she needed, nutritional needs and some medical equipment she needed with her breathing. And so I was very drawn to help with that particular organization as well. They have a huge golf outing coming up for the New Jersey State Organization of Cystic Fibrosis, July 28th. It's a Friday. So, you know, I take a day off that day and I'm there because I want to be at that event all day. And it's so much fun. We do that every year. This is the 40th annual golf outing for the New Jersey State Organization of Cystic Fibrosis coming up. And, you know, like I said, it's you just balance it. You kind of prepare it just like we all do. You know, if you know there's a special event coming up, you kind of put it on your calendar and you know that day you're going to have to take a step back from maybe my work responsibilities and then you jump in and help with the charity stuff.
It's pretty incredible. Your schedule, you're making me feel lazy right now, Debbie. So we're going to take a short break and be back in 30 seconds with Debbie Duhaime.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Welcome back with Debbie Duhaime. I was just joking a little bit. I mean, I'd like to work out, get up early, but, you know, you make me look like an amateur. So your schedule, I mean, you literally, because you're on the air so early in the morning every day, you're up early. You're up at what, like 3 o'clock in the morning?
I'm up by 3:30, 3:45 most days. Yeah.
That's pretty rigorous. And, you know, because of your schedule. you do go to bed early. I always joke with people, but I find I'm the most productive when I wake up really early and just get to it.
Yeah.
I might get tired later in the day, but you accomplish so much more than just sleeping in. So yeah. I think that's a wonderful, work ethic to do that. You know, we were talking, off the air, you know, just taking the break, you know, I did lose my dad to pancreatic cancer. And I know in life, my dad was my hero. I mean, he's a wonderful person, and my late mom as well. I'm just so blessed in so many ways. But, you know, I know that you've gone through some adversity. I know you mentioned you lost a dear friend, I believe, at age 23 to cystic fibrosis, which obviously would change your life in, I'm sure, many ways. And you sadly lost your brother very recently, really. So, you know, life's mysteries with that. Debbie, how does that inform you? How does that change your life? So I want to talk a little bit about cystic fibrosis because you lost a really close friend, I understand.
Yes.
At a young age.
Yeah.
So how does that change your life and look, your outlook on life?
Well, I think you realize how precious life is, right? When you lose somebody so that you're so near and dear to. And, you know, when I saw, and when you see somebody you really care about suffer, and you see people stepping up to help, like I saw the New Jersey State Organization of Cystic Fibrosis and how they helped her so much through her struggles. But I think that of course, it opens your heart up to wanting to help others that are going through that struggle. And I'm sure that's why you're involved with pancreatic cancer. And, you know, I think we're all called to something. And it's not about us. It's about others and how we can kind of help ease their journey a little bit, you know?
Well, that's a beautiful thing to help out and understand. I mean, because you lost a dear friend at such a young age, and it is the fragility of life. And as we all get older, we start to understand more and more. You can't take things for granted. And one of the reasons why, once again, I love the show is we should focus on good things.
Yes.
As opposed to some of the negative news out there. I mean, I know you're in the news industry. You do an incredible job with traffic and obviously being on the air for so many years. But also, the stories, for whatever reason, we don't get a lot of proper coverage for wonderful things going on. And I do agree with you, Debbie. A little thing in life can make a big difference. You know, I had the D'Amico's on. I always talk about them, and they lost their son tragically in a boating accident.
Oh,
only 10.
Heartbreaking.
Beyond a heartbreak. God forbid, I'd never want to understand what that's like. But wonderful people, in a sense, they were able to pull themselves together and lift themselves up and the community.
It's amazing.
But the kindness, just a little gesture. You do more than just a little gesture. I mean, you're doing a lot. But I agree with you. A little thing can make a big difference in someone's life. It's pretty incredible. Sometimes you don't know what someone needs, that little positive note or that little uplifting message. So in your religion, I know religion is really important to you and the concept of helping others. And the Good Counsel Homes, I know we talked about that a little bit. For the listeners, if they want to donate to Good Counsel Homes, how do they reach you or Good Counsel Homes?
Well, they can go right to goodcounselhomes.org and ORG, and the whole website is there. You can, there are testimonials on there, even from some of the moms, and you can see little videos on there of their experience at Good Counsel Home and how it helped them to get into the right path. And, you know, it just helped them during a really, really tough time in their lives where they needed a shelter. They needed a home. And the thing I love about Good Counsel Homes, the one in Spring Valley, New York, which is right in Rockland County, it used to be a convent. You go in and it's this big kitchen and living room, and all the girls have the responsibilities. Each one has different, you know, responsibilities of making dinner certain evenings. And, you know, it's a family. You know, there are curfews. You have to be in at a certain time. There's no drinking. There's, you know, it's very strict, which I love. And faith is encouraged, which I think is great too. And upstairs, they have all the rooms for the moms and babies. It's just such a loving home. But I just think that it's just being a part of that and seeing how it helps these young ladies is enough of a reward for all of the volunteers. There are so many volunteers that help out too, by the way, with Good Counsel Homes. And it's just nice to see the girls when they get to, get to that next step in life too. And like I said, you can go to goodcounselhomes.org and you can see a lot of the testimonials there.
Right. You know, Debbie, you talk about volunteerism, and I think that's really important. There's so many different ways to volunteer, mm-hmm. whatever you're into. And I know we were talking before we started this morning about basketball. I know you're, obviously knowledgeable about, right now we're in March Madness, but I have to give a special shout out. I have some great friends, mm-hmm. coach Special Olympics basketball.
Wow.
But right down in Wildwood, there's four teams, Motown Magic.
Yeah. That name.
Yeah. They're great. And Craig Lombardi, Sweet Lou Ferraro.
Great.
Or Tom Abezia. These are wonderful guys. And I was so privileged to work with them or volunteer for many years.
Right.
Special Olympics, but volunteerism is so important to me because I know what a difference it can make in not just helping the community, but helping, yourself. And you talk about the volunteers you've come in contact with because you're a volunteer also. What's it like when you see folks coming, pulling together towards a common goal and to help others? What's that like?
Well, like you said, you end up getting the benefit of it, right? As a volunteer, you feel so good when you're helping others. And when you see all these other volunteers doing the same thing as you, wanting to help, it's so nice to meet people that are all kind of get it. Like, this is something that, it's going to lift other people up, but it's also lifting yourself up, right? In a way. So, but it's great when you see the other volunteers that are wanting to help out. And, when I speak at sometimes different masses and people come up to me and they want to help. Oh, what can I do? Can I volunteer? Can I go into the homes and do something, to help the young ladies out? And then I give them the number because I'm just a volunteer. I don't work for the Good Counsel Homes. I'm a volunteer. And I say, you can call and we could see what we could set up. We had a parish that, that got very involved, helping and it's just nice because you see people wanting to give back. It's just fantastic.
Well, that's exactly why I think I love doing the show again is because it's really putting the focus and the spotlight on wonderful things, good things, not the negative, but the positive in life. Mm-hmm. I think we all need to know that there's a lot of wonderful people out there mm-hmm. making a difference. And also for the listeners, there's so many things, once again, you can be involved in. I know you talk about, religion and obviously a mentorship and helping others and being a role model. And you mentioned a little earlier about you go into schools and you provide messages that are uplifting, positive messages. Mm-hmm. And how is that received? I mean, when you go into these schools, what's it like to talk to the kids?
Well, the great thing is that there are so many the career days, even in my town in Bloomingdale, the Walter T. Bergen School, they have a really great career day every year. And there are so many different people coming in from different professions and speaking to the kids. And I just think it's great because the kids get to see a perspective of so many different people that are, the different careers and, how people got to their particular goal. And it's great for the kids because they're being exposed to so much. So it's kind of about achieving your goals and having that drive because you want everyone to succeed, right? We want everyone to succeed in whatever they're choosing to do in life. So, it's really nice to see the response from the kids because they always have questions. They're raising their hands or asking questions. And it's great because when they're motivated and excited, that means they're going to bring that into, their dreams, and they're trying to fulfill their dreams.
And that's the wonderful thing about what you're doing, Debbie, is you're putting that fire in someone to achieve their goals. And a shoot for the stars. And I think that's a beautiful thing to give that uplifting message.
I also help with a National Career Institute over in East Orange in Jersey City. And they have a program for basically kids who maybe didn't go to college, but they want to have a career, and they have these unbelievable programs where they can graduate from. One is in construction for young men that want to learn electrical work and things like that. That's in the Jersey City building. And then there's one in East Orange for medical. And so the girls can learn all about the medical field, girls or guys for each one, obviously. And they graduate with this certification so that they can be in the medical field. They can be in the construction field with this amazing knowledge that they learn through National Career Institute. And Dr. George Blunt runs that. And I met him many, many years ago. So I'm also a board member there. And I love seeing these young people that maybe they needed a little direction and maybe college wasn't for them, but they needed a career. And we have the graduation for them each year as well. And just to see their sense of accomplishment when they get their certification. And you know, we encourage them, listen, this is great. You can go into your field now and you get a great job and you're going to succeed. And if you want to go back to community college, do it. You know, if you want to keep getting a little bit more education, you could do that too. You could take what I did, one class a semester, or you can, and still work. And there, you can always keep accomplishing if you want to. And, but I love that there's a place like that too for some young people that maybe they need that particular guidance, because that's a better road for them. And I've heard from students who've graduated, who've gone on to get amazing jobs through National Career Institute, and their careers have soared. And I just love that, because a lot of times they're kids from the inner city that sometimes they don't have the same opportunities as everybody else. And, you know, it just depends, you know, and it's just, that's really, really, really nice to see too, their accomplishments as well.
Well, that's another amazing thing that you're involved in, Debbie. You know, I do believe everybody's going to run their own race and they have to do their own thing. College isn't for everyone. I think education's important.
It is. It is.
You're going to have to advance. You have to be knowledgeable and be able to talk to people. But also, everybody has a different gift in life.
Yes.
And I know, like, if you need an electrician, a plumber, someone to fix something, there's a real need for that. So there's definitely a worthy career to pursue if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody
mm-hmm.
does have to take their own path.
And you can make money in any of them. So you can have a great career. It's all about, you know, having that passion for whatever you choose.
No question. But you're giving these youngsters an opportunity and mentoring them, which is wonderful, and be able to lift them up as well. You're also involved with Nasson's Place with the inner city kids with autism.
Mm.
How'd you get involved? I mean, there's so many things here that I got a whole list.
You know what it is? You meet people and you just want to help because you see the great work that they're doing. My friend Nadine runs Nasson's Place, and she has a son with autism. And she's from the East Orange, Newark area, and she realized there weren't a lot of programs available for inner city kids with autism. And so she wanted to create programs so that they would have different, like, swimming programs. They have movie days where the kids can go to a specific movie theater in Newark, and they have autism, so everybody understands that sometimes, you know, there may be behavior things going on, but they understand because it's part of that that specific day that they have for the kids each month at the theater. And I just see the work that Nadine does, and I'm so inspired by everything that she does. So I try to go to several things that they have each year, too. They have a big Christmas party every year for the kids. I try to go to that. And it's great to see, so many programs now becoming available for these kids with autism in the inner city. Nadine is working on a building now in Newark as well. So they're trying to get that off the ground. That'll be a central location for them as well.
What a wonderful, important cause. Nasson's Place, you know, in schooling, I'm blessed with young kids, and you know, the school system, we all understand. We have to get everybody involved together. And if someone has autism, you know, everybody does their best to make mm-hmm. them feel as mm-hmm. part of the community. And I think that's vitally important. There's so many, I think the, finally people are starting to recognize that autism is got to be addressed. And there's a lot of young
people with it. Oh, yeah. And there are so many great things. The schools do so much. And my sister works at a school for kids with autism over in Denville. And, you know, it's amazing. But there needs to be more in certain areas. And it's great that you have somebody like Nadine, right, who does this with Naissance Place, and she is unbelievable. Everything she does for these kids and their families, you know.
You light up, you know, for people that aren't watching, but listen, I mean, you're lighting up when you talk about your friends.
Well, I love it. I love when you see it, right? Yeah, when you see it, it's everybody, you know, and you're, you know, she's lifting up these families that really are in need. They had nowhere to turn, you know, they needed programs for their kids. So she's got a swimming program, all different things. She's amazing. So, you know, it's just great. Like you and you with the Special Olympics, like we all do our thing and we try to support people that are doing great for the communities, you know?
Question. Mm-hmm. So I touch a little bit about how faith is really important in your life. How does faith kind of get you through the day?
I think it gets you through everything, especially when you go through a tough time. So, you know, when you're going through any kind of trial or tribulation, I just think that that's a blessing to have faith, because that's, you know, you see that, you know, this may be part of the plan right now. Like when you lost your father, your mom, I mean, it's like if you don't have faith, I don't know how you even get through those tough times, you know. So, you know, it's just something that gets you through those difficult times in life. And it just helps you realize it's not really about you. It's about helping others in life.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. You know, it's a little philosophical. It's Sunday morning, but you know, hope. I think hope is so important. How does that also guide you in your life to give people hope?
Well, you know what? I think when you do go in and speak to these young kids, you can give them hope, because you could tell them like your own journey wasn't that easy. You know, like I didn't get into broadcasting right away, and my dream, it took a while. And so I think like you can give them hope by saying, you know, the dream might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen in 5 years, but it may in 7 or it may in 8, but you've got to keep at that dream. And so if you can give hope to others and by having them have that motivation on their journey, I think that that's important.
No question about it. I mean, we were talking, you know, we asked me about the show. I mean, if you stop doing it, nothing's going to really happen.
Yes.
Once you stop, you stop. If you throw in the towel and you quit, your dream's never going to come true. That I can tell you.
I remember that. Yeah.
Going and bopping along and doing your best and learning and growing.
Yep.
And it takes a long time, but if you keep at it, right, there's some success down the road.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the magical mysteries of life also, is you got to stay with whatever you're into.
Yeah.
Once again, if you don't do it anymore, you're never going to get to your goal.
I remember Jim Carrey, he's a DJ in New York City, saying to me, "Debbie, I have one bit of advice for you." And I said, because he knew I wanted to be in broadcasting. I had met him through a charity for cystic fibrosis he was helping out with. He said, "Don't give up." He says, "If you don't give up, you're going to make it." And this is way before I got into even traffic. I was working at the local stations and trying to get my, he goes, "Just don't give up and you will make it." And it's true. If you don't give up, it's, you know, you're going to make, you know, whatever your destination is.
Right. I mean, there's a late great basketball coach talking about March Madness, the late Jimmy Valvano. What a legend.
Oh, yes.
But his moniker was never give up, never give
up. Oh, yes. Yes. Right. Amazing, well, man.
Yeah. But that's really helpful in life, too, is don't quit. Keep on going. You know, keep on going. Mm-hmm. So on your journey, did you ever envision when you started in broadcasting like 28 years ago, you'd be where you are today?
I didn't really, I mean, I didn't really specifically see myself, as a traffic reporter. I mean, I kind of like doing interviews and things like that, like what you're doing. I love doing that kind of stuff. And I was doing a lot of that with local stuff and news. And I didn't really know where the path was going to lead me at the time when I first started in broadcasting. But after I met Joan Olin at that Christmas party, who was a traffic reporter when I was interning at WABC Radio New York, I'm like, traffic, it lit in my head. I said, that's something I can learn. I could get into the New York market. I'm going to call Joan Olin. I'm going to ask Joan Olin if I can call him and discuss this with him. So I went up to my, and I always tell the kids this too when I speak at a career day. If you see somebody that you admire in a position and you think that that's somebody that may be able to give you a little stepping stone in your career, go and introduce yourself to them. That's when you can't be shy anymore, like I was. I said, nope, I'm going to go up. I see Joan Olin over there. I'm going to go introduce myself. And I went up. I shook his hand. I said, hi, Joan. My name is Debbie. I'm interning right now. But I'd love to learn more about the traffic world. And, you know, I see your success, and I'd love to, like, maybe come in for a tour and see if there are any openings in the future. And he said, sure, Debbie, call me Monday. And he was very, very nice. He goes, just call me Monday. He gave me his card. And I called him that Monday. This was a Christmas party, so it was maybe in December. And so I called him that Monday. And, of course, it was the holidays. He said, well, Debbie, I'm really busy this week. Just call me next Monday. I said, okay, I'll call you next Monday. And then I called him the next Monday in January. He goes, Debbie, I'm really busy this week. You can't come in. Like, how about next Monday? Can you call me? And we'll set something up. All right. Long story short, I called him every Monday until May. Every Monday. Okay. I finally got an interview in, I guess it was June, because I got hired in June that year. And he finally introduced me to the boss. He gave me the tour, and I was able to get interviewed by the bosses. He did set up the interview, and I got a part-time job in traffic as a producer on the weekends. And I love telling that story to kids. You know, I said, don't give up on, you know, somebody who said they're going to help you, because they do mean it. Sometimes they really are just busy, because people are busy. You know, it's not that they're ignoring you. It's because he was so sincere when he was saying, call me next Monday. I'm like, okay, I will. And I kept calling. I said, you got to be persistent.
And you're relentless, but, you know, this is an example.
In a nice way. You can't be too much of a pain. You have to do it in a nice way, right?
You have a nice disposition. But the point was that you were relentless because it was part of your dream.
Yeah.
You want to get your foot in the door, and you did something, which obviously at a certain level was, you know, you threw yourself into it. You put your hat in the ring, and, you know, you're trying to get an opportunity. So God bless Joan Olin and for you being so relentless. But for the listeners,
he's great. We're still friends to this day. He's a fantastic traffic reporter and a fantastic person.
But that goes back to people that touch your lives.
Yes.
And that's why for the listeners, I mean, there's things you don't realize how you can help someone.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little advice or some mentorship,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm,
encouragement.
Yep.
And saying, go for it, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because the other thing is, if you hang around people that are encouraging, it's going to make you feel more positive.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to put like a wet blanket on your dreams. You got to stay away from people like that,
because
you're not
exactly
going to achieve what you want.
Don't listen to them.
No.
Don't listen to them. Only listen to the positive vibes.
Amen to that. So, you know, volunteerism in your overall life, another philosophical question. What impact has it had to be such an active volunteer?
Well, it's just rewarding, I think. You know, you're just part of all these other little communities out there, you know, with the New Jersey State Organization of Cystic Fibrosis. Good Counsel Homes also led me to know people from several sources, which is another shelter for women in Bergen County. And I helped them with their event last year. I emceed their event. They're phenomenal as well, several sources. You know, knowing about National Career Institute and Nason's Place, all these little communities of people that you get to know, and, you know, and going to the events and just being part of it, it's besides being rewarding, it's fun, because you're with like-minded people, and it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a social kind of a thing as well, because they're all becoming your friends. And to me, it's just rewarding, basically, and then also fun, you know.
No question about it. You know, we have a very honored and privileged to be part of the 200 Club of Morris County.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great bunch of people.
Yes.
Became great friends of mine.
Yes.
And we have a big awards dinner coming up April 27th for all the heroes in the community.
Great.
The first responders. We have the Valor and Meritorious Awards at the Birchwood Manor. But like you just said, some of the members are great friends of mine.
Right.
I just like hanging out with them. It's all different, you know, backgrounds and personalities.
Yes.
But it's the common goal of showing the love and support to the first responders.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
we need more of that, too. The volunteers that you have come in contact with, what is their reaction about you're also taking time out of your schedule and being involved? And you basically, you roll up your sleeves too, though, Debbie. You're in there. So what's that interrelationship like?
Well, I just think it's like, I said earlier, you all have that common goal. Assemblyman Giblin, who is an assemblyman here in New Jersey, he has the Giblin Association. I've been to many of their events too through the years. And he's an assemblyman. He's making laws and, you know, and he's out there with the people, helping people. He is unbelievable and an unbelievable person. And he's running a whole association giving back. So there are just so many of these leaders out there giving back. So they're also examples to like me. And I see, wow, they can be part of the New Jersey Assembly. And then they're still running an organization to help others. So, you know, we all have our little examples. And we see what they do and giving back and through the years, you know, you just see so many of these leaders, like Senator Bucco, and just so many of our local leaders here, and giving back and doing so many things. And to me, they're examples to me too. When I see what they're doing, and that they manage to do all that volunteering as well.
You know, because I live in Morris County, I work in Morris County. I see, you know, Senator Bucco doing his thing, Sheriff Gannon right here in Morris County. Mm-hmm. I was joking, I see the sheriff, he never stops. I mean, doing so many wonderful.
Oh yeah,
things.
I saw him speak recently. He's great.
Yeah,
great.
I mean, this is an example of where public officials are still so engaged in the community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your goals. You have some goals for the future in your charitable endeavors, Debbie?
Well, I'm just always helping. Even in Rockaway, Township has a great drug alliance. My friend Les runs that, and I try to help him every year where they speak to the eighth graders with their fantastic message of staying away from drugs and being aware of the dangers, especially now with all this fentanyl out here, and we see these young people dying. You know, just getting involved even more with that type of a message, because I see my friend Les Wexler, what he does in Rockaway. And to me, that's just such an unbelievable, important thing to get out to the young people about staying away from the drugs and don't even try it. You don't know what's in that. It's, you know, we see these stories of these people just dying and just they try something and you don't know what's in that stuff, you know. So to me, that's one of the goals. That's one of the messages that I feel really drawn to. We were just down at the LEAD conference, Law Enforcement Against Drugs, down in Atlantic City. We were down there with the Piscopo show Monday and Tuesday this week in Atlantic City. And again, they have this fantastic message as well, getting out to the schools, you know, the message about staying away from drugs and the just the awareness about all of the dangers that are out there right now. So I think that that's something that I'm kind of very drawn to. You know, to get that message out there.
Yeah, I remember when I was a young kid, they had that message, say no to drugs.
Yes,
and
yes.
And that was as simple as that.
Yeah.
If you don't mess with it, you're going to be all right. But people can make that one mistake, sadly, and lose their lives, and the whole family is devastated.
The Rockaway Township Drug Alliance that I told you my friend Les is involved with, where we saw the sheriff speak, and we saw two people that overcame drug addiction. And it was so powerful, the message, and how they had to go to the rehab so many times, and they finally, you know, were able to, you know, get over that addiction. And so that's, I say, if you can save these kids from even trying it so they don't get into that, that to me would just be life saving for so many families. Cause as we know, drug addiction affects the family too.
It does. And in fact, it cuts across all walks of life, from the poorest to the wealthiest. Unfortunately, drugs are the scourge of our society. Before we have you go, Debbie, in like 30 seconds, you have any advice for the listeners about giving back, because we're on the journey of giving back?
Just if you want to get involved somewhere in your local community, you can call either your local church, your synagogue. There are so many ways to give back, and so many people in need right in your own town. We wouldn't have to be take a lot of your time, but even a little bit of time. And by getting involved locally, you can help. Just helping one person can mean the world to that person and their family.
No doubt about it, Debbie. So I just want to thank you again so much for coming on today, telling us your story, your journey, your career, who you are as a person. And God bless you for everything you're doing to help others, because it takes a special person to take time out of your busy life and to give back and make the world better. And that's what the journey of giving back is for everyone, is to make the world better. If you know someone making a difference, doing the right thing, tell them, contact me. Send me an email, todd@toddleonardshow.com. Like us on Facebook or subscribe to the show. Visit our website, toddleonardshow.com. We've had some remarkable, wonderful people on, like Debbie Duhaime. Remember this, we're all in this together. And as Debbie just said, helping one person cannot just change one person's lives, but many lives. God bless you and enjoy this beautiful day today. Take care.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.